Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
A car is never just a car. Kelley Blue Book knows it's so much more than that. It's your commuting chariot, your road trip refuge, your I just need a reason to get out of the house. Your car is there for everything. And for everything car, there's Kelley Blue Book. Need a new set of wheels? Price it on Kelley Blue Book. Problem under the hood? Fix it with Kelley Blue Book. Can another car do the job better? Trade it or sell it on Kelley Blue Book. We're here mile after mile, moment after moment. Price it, fix it, trade it, sell it. KBB.com. Visit KelleyBlueBook.com to get the journey started.
You know how many times I've gotten up, and this is what freaks me out. I've gotten up in the middle of the night to go check if the doors are locked. And sometimes the front door is like just unlocked and you could just walk right in. And I'm just like,
I do that. Sometimes I leave my keys in the door and then I go to sleep. Like I have a security, I have like a metal security gate screen door that's bolted and locked. And then I'll spend the whole, like if I'm leaving to go somewhere, I'm walking around, where are my keys? And I'm like, holy shit, I'm turning into my mother. I'm like,
oh my God.
And then I open up the front door and there are my keys.
There they are. They've been there for 1 week.
Yeah. And I'm thinking,
anyone could have just walked in and been like, I live here too now.
Yeah.
You hope to God no one does that. And like, someone has to be like, yeah, so you found her murdered body. How do you think they got in? Yeah. Oh, well, she just left the keys in the key thing and a note on the front door that just said, come on in and murder me.
Yeah, party's in here.
Yeah, if you're looking for the murder party, I'm in here.
Yeah.
I'm here podcasting. I'll have headphones on so I won't hear you when you lurk behind me to kill me.
Make sure you're recording.
Ruthie, what do you do during the intro song? Do you dance in place? What do you do?
Oh, for sure. I dance, I sing, I move, I groove.
I'll tell you what you are. You're a real hip non-dad. That's what you are.
Yeah, I sure am.
Not only is that a great description, but that's a great segue into who we got on the show today. It's a non-dad. Ruthie, this is you.
Yeah, this is a non-dad territory. We're talking to Sabrina Jalise. She's next level funny. I can't even begin to tell you.
So if you have a seatbelt in your house, first off, where did you get that? And I bet you were overcharged. But put it on because you're finally gonna need it. Listening to Sabrina Jalise talk to us. She's an amazing stand-up comic. She's been a writer on shows like Search Party and Big Mouth, two huge hits. And here's a juicy tidbit. She's from Toronto. That's not even in this country, Ruthie.
No way. No, it's not.
No.
It touches tips, though.
That's exactly right. It's close. It's so close. I can't wait till we reach up there and try to snag it from Canada.
I can't wait.
That also, because of that, it makes her our very first Canadian guest.
So without further ado, here's the wickedly funny one and only Sabrina Jalise.
Sabrina, you were about to jump into a story, and then I cut you off because I said that was too meaty for just casual.
Oh,
we need it for the show.
Well, we were talking about George Foreman, and you gave me the trivia fact that he has named 100 of his kids George Foreman.
Yeah.
And I was like, honestly, it seems kind of cool.
Yeah.
Did you know that, Ruthie? Did you know George Foreman?
I did know that. Yeah, I always thought that was like kind of insane, but also kind of baller.
I mean, I identify with it because my wife gave birth to Wolfie, our 2-year-old son.
Yeah.
And I was so excited to be like, and his last name, Jalise, bitch.
Yeah.
Which is my last name.
Yeah.
Which is like, it is this like guttural butchness in me or something that's like, give me the property. Right. Like, give me
it feels like putting
legacy.
The flag, like you getting to the land and putting the flag in the ground. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Totally. But then it's also gross because my wife made the flag from her body and pussy.
And you just immediately were like, mine.
Mine. Yeah. Actually, she had an emergency C-section, and I was kind of in that same terrible, guttural, bad person way, was like, I'll be the first to hold the child.
Yeah, I know.
My lap first, my breasts. I hate that I relate to that.
I never thought of that.
We had emergency C-section, and I also was like, I'll get to hold the baby. And then you're like, what is wrong with me?
What is wrong with me? My wife's literal, like, cracked open like a lobster tail.
And she's just laying there in tears alone on the other side of a sheet where no one can see her. And I'm like, from a distance, going,
baby looks healthy.
You won't know for 10 more minutes. What is your wife's last name?
My wife's last name is McCann, and so right now we're in the process of we have a few little embryos that are my egg and our donor's sperm.
Oh, cool.
That are in a bank in Puerto Vallarta.
Now, is that popular? You always want to keep those in Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah, you do. It's like, if they're going to be hanging out for a while, you want them to be by the beach, have a mojito.
Chill. You want that DNA.
You don't want them in some city apartment. Yeah. You want them really like ready.
Ready to live.
Ready to start living.
Yeah. Chilled out.
Ready to like vacation as a lifestyle.
McCann is my wife's last name. And so the deal was, I said, let's put my last name on it. If we have another baby, we'll change it.
We'll
change
also
both their names
put my
too.
Name on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I will hold it first.
And she was like, that's a terrific deal. No, she was like, why don't we merge the names? And I'm like, well, if you're suggesting it, I'm an asshole. If I say no, that's silly.
I know. Yeah.
But so the name will be McLeese.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, so like creating a whole new name.
Yeah, whole new name, but we'll have different names, and then they'll have that, and it'll be a nightmare at the airport, but like, whatever.
Wolfie McLeese is very cinematic.
Very.
It is. Yeah. And we're really hoping he's in cinema.
Yeah.
If he's not, don't even talk to me. I like both those last names. I like that you're combining them. If, you know, that's obviously the literal middle ground of that discussion.
It seems like a good new legacy.
But even if you leaned towards one, I think those are both good last names.
Do you guys have an Instagram for your son?
No.
Yeah.
I don't.
Or like, did you get his Gmail account already? And
no.
We did do.
You did Gmail?
So we did.
And Insta?
Here's what I recommend. Whoa. This. And this is not my idea. And I'm actually now kind of upset that I can't remember whose idea this was. We went ahead and got my daughter a Gmail address. And we've started to write her emails that she can one day read about what's kind of going on. Like a time capsule, I guess, of sorts.
That's so sweet. And then it lands in both of your inboxes for now. And you're like, baby,
but here is the, and I hate that this is so, I feel like cliche dad, but I have written maybe two emails to my wife's more than likely 100 emails.
I mean, that's just a number put to the dilemma of what it is to be living that straight life.
I can't even, I'm like, I don't know what to write. I'll write like, hey, it's been 2 years. I love you so much. You're getting so big. I got to run.
Yeah. You ate an orange today. Good job.
You know what? You really are taking some huge steps as a person.
Yeah.
I'm on the road. I cannot be here.
Dad writes for a fucking living, okay? Dad's out there writing for the meat on your
table. I live in my emails.
Yeah.
All of your emails are guilting him.
We do a private Instagram handle to put up pictures because it's just so much easier to share with family instead of sending a, here's the load of pictures that we have.
I like that.
I do here's the load on like different WhatsApp groups, but then I also post a lot of Wolfie on mine, and I will tell you why I justify it, even though it obviously is better to like organize and be private. I do feel like there's a magic about Wolfie and how he came into the world that has to do with like the world. I mean, the way we made him, I met my surf instructor in Mexico, in Sayulita, And was like taken by him and then introduced him to my wife, who is like very vibey. And she was like, you can ask him. And we've always known our son's name is going to be Wolfie. He had a tattoo of a wolf on his back. I was like, the jizz is mine.
Are you
the
serious?
Universe? Yes. Is steering.
That's amazing.
It was the universe. And like all these, there's like all these, I mean, the one after she said you could ask him, because we had a surf lesson and we drank some mezcal and I like got to know him and it was just like,
I just love
profound,
that
like,
all the sperm needs to come from vacation. Yeah. Places for you.
I'm rethinking things in life right now.
Well, the reason the Vallarta connection, like, I'll tell you, initially just practically, part of what inspired me in that moment was it's nice to know who the biological father of our son is for me personally and feel connected to him, but then also have separation so that it is our nuclear family and he's very much embedded in like not only a part of it, but part of the creation of
it. Sure.
Yeah. But like, how did you get to that? Because I think that's interesting sometimes for people to hear who are considering to use a sperm donor. Like, I have friends that don't want to know it at all, didn't even really want to see pictures, just wanted to get attributes of the person. And then people who want to know everything about them. But I rarely hear like they want them to be a part of their life and feel connected to them. So I'm curious like how that came about for you and for your wife too. Like,
I think it's just, it really naturally just happened after meeting our donor. It was like, it felt born out of this connection with him. And, we like came back to Mexico when Shauna was ovulated. I skipped the part where I asked him in the water. I took another lesson, asked him in the water. He said, yes. I like ran to Shauna and was like,
what if he said no? And you guys were just out in the water for like another hour.
Floating.
I think I probably would have cut it short. I probably would have been like, you know, I'm not feeling
surfing right
no,
now.
Actually, it totally would have been fine. If he would have said no, it would have been a normal answer because that's like a wild question from someone you don't know that well. But like,
I guess,
Right? Like,
but I guess at the same time, I don't know. I'm trying to put myself in that position. If someone asked me, I think my initial, I mean, who's to say? Because no one's asking me. And, no one ever will.
Well,
let's be honest.
Until the end of the podcast, Rory.
But
the phones will
light
up. I
think if someone asked me, I think I'd immediately be like, my initial reaction instinctually would be like, oh, that's cool. Me. Like, I'd really feel like you asked me, like, to marry you or something. Like, oh my God.
It's big. It's a big.
It is. It's huge.
No, it is. I mean, it felt when you said thing. You're in the water and he said yes, and then you ran into the into the
she
house
immediately
and
wiped out on the next wave. They had to take her to the hospital.
I literally like just took the next medium wave straight to the, yes, totally wiped out. No, ran to my wife and was like, it's happening. And I didn't know how babies are made. I thought you just throw jizz in there and then boom. Like, I didn't know about...
I still don't know. So what you just said, I still think that's actually right.
I mean, technically it is true, but the timing of it, like she had just finished her period, so she would not be ovulating. Right. But I was like, I cut the thumb out of a dish glove and I duct taped it and cut like a hole at the end of the thumb part and showed it to them. They were like, how much jizz do you think comes out of a dick? I had no idea. I'm a gold star. I've never removed... Oh, yeah. I've never gotten But it's
how much
little
jizz
bit.
Do you think comes out? Folks, we've got a trivia we're going to do at the end of the podcast. It's how much jizz?
And then they like pour maple syrup into a bucket.
You can't do that on television.
And you guess. That's a really good game show, actually. You guess how much jizz comes out of a dick.
I don't know. A lot? And there's not even specific guesses. I guess a lot.
Well, because Ruthie, you have slept with multiple men, I'm assuming. I'm getting the vibe from
you. Thanks. I feel really confident. By that. No one has to know it's actually like a handful, but multiple men.
So in that handful, though, is the amount of jizz that comes out of a dick different for each penis?
Yeah, definitely.
It has to
comes
be.
Out. Because, well, especially like...
It would feel so... We could confirm that we are definitely in a simulation if it was always the exact same amount. We would be like, this is clearly not
totally
real. Life is not real.
And it,
that's...
there's so many factors, too, like... how drunk they are, how old they are, how young they are,
funny.
Right? And you're like, oh, are you? Oh, okay. All right, cool.
And then if are they drunk and old? Are they drunk and young? And then you start crisscrossing the equations.
Okay, drunk, young with an old spirit, contractor. It's going to be a thimble.
How soon after he said yes was this happening? Was it like, all right,
Well, I thought it was happening right away. And then Shauna was like, you're insane. Yeah. Shauna's had sex with men, so she knew about like keeping her pussy pregnant or not. I love that I keep on saying pussy as if it's the pussy that like forms.
Let me just say, you're the first.
The lips of the pussy are like, yeah. Draw, like just clay.
Not only are you the first guest to say it, you're the one that the first to say it so comfortably.
Yeah.
You're really waking Ruthie and I up to like, yeah, why don't we be a little more verbal.
I hope we all fucking change at the end of this podcast.
So it was the things, she was like, calm down, that's not how it works.
She was like, we need to come back when I'm ovulating, so we just sort of...
Well, and like, also, do you want to like get a little bit of history about him, or were you just already like vibing so much that it didn't matter if he had a history of diabetes in his family or whatever, you know?
None of that really was... It truly was... Not one night stand, but it was like a immediate love connection. Yeah. It was immediately like we had this feeling. And then when he said yes, it was like, I mean, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
And this the beauty, I think, of being queer going into your journey into parenting is like in the beginning, I thought this was going to be like such a sad part of my life, like trying to find a baby. And in the end, it was just this beautiful, like it was like falling in love with Shauna. It was like finding your destiny. And we did it ourselves. Like we calculated her ovulation, went back to Mexico on a jizzness trip.
folks. Here for jizzness or pleasure? Both.
Oh my
right.
God.
That is a culture, both. Okay?
That is
a brand. That is a
that
lifestyle.
That is a series. That is so many. That's everything. Oh
that's
going to
be a TV show title one
yeah,
day.
Seriously. Jizzness.
Well, jizzness in the front. And everyone's going to be like, what is this?
Oh my God.
I'm writing a movie about it and I want to call it Jizzness Trip, but then like that's not a normal thing to see on your Netflix screen.
There's going to be tough trailers. There's going to be tough trailers
One
to
of
run.
The places that's bidding on.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of people bidding on things these days. Yeah. I'm just trying to decide where the jizzness goes. Yeah. So we go and she was peeing on the I think it's first response, but it's the smiling face when you're ovulating.
Yeah.
She's peeing on that smiley, which people who have not done this, that's probably just like a fun visual for you.
Peeing on
just
that smiley.
Peeing on a smiley face. And when she was ovulating, he came into a cup. We were not there. He called us from like we were staying at this place above a restaurant in like the town square. And he called out to us. We went upstairs, made love. She came so hard. I'm a great lover. Oh, just a
no,
real
we
natural.
No, we know. We asked her. We do all our research before we do these podcasts.
Oh, no. I know you know.
We're like, is she a great lover? And she was like, yeah, she's a great lover. I came so hard. We're like, all right, thank you.
So he comes in the cup. He goes outside. We come inside. She comes. I put the jizz inside like a needle without a needle.
Yeah.
The trick is a dog catheter on top of that because that's like really small. You can put it between your fingers and like slide it in. Very
know,
cool.
We know this part. We do this all
the dog
the time.
Catheter.
No. Yeah. Not at all. No. I didn't know any of this.
I have a drawer of them. Okay. No, what's a dog catheter?
I don't even know what to visualize. When you say dog catheter, I'm like, I can't get past dog.
Okay, imagine a thing that plugs into, instead of a needle, at the needle part of a syringe, it's like a long wisp type
like a plastic
thing that you could inject. It would fit into a dog's penis. Uh-huh. I put the jizz. Jizz can stay alive for super long.
Forever.
Which is terrifying when you don't want a baby.
Very terrifying. Yes. Well, it's shocking to me that more like women don't know about how all of that. It's like no one was taught.
No, it's all like.
It's like the boys were separated from the girls when you're 12 years old and the boys. It's like, you're going to get boners, guys.
When they do that separation, like we're going to go teach the girls this and we're going to teach the boys this.
Yeah.
No one walks away going, I think I get it now. You're like no closer to understanding.
Right.
And it's what truly to me, sex education is so bizarre. Because it's like being embarrassed on how to teach people to eat and drink. It's like, it's essential.
Yes.
It is essential to our survival.
Tell women when they're, women to track their ovulations so that if they don't want to be pregnant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
No, if people knew the truth, you'd probably cut down on like teenage pregnancy if you just said, hey, by the way, this is what it is and this is how it works and this is what can happen. If you were just so brutally honest, kids might be like,
instead of
just
handing us these giant pads.
Yeah. Yeah. And like,
did they give you pads, Ruthie?
Oh, yeah. And I started my period in sixth grade. I was like one of two
bragging.
Kids. Bragging. Yeah. Yeah.
Braggadocious.
I was like,
she's up later.
Yes.
What age are most, is 13 like usually the age, 13 or 14? Or is it 12, like 11, 12? Like, when do you get your period for the first time?
I was actually 6 years old. Yeah. So no offense, Ruthie.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I know. I get
we've
it.
We've got, folks, we've got a new winner. Jizzness in the front coming out.
Really good at sex, Sabrina. I get it.
So where were we? My wife's coming hard.
Yeah.
And I don't know when I got my period.
My wife's coming hard. There I am with a catheter. And we're like, wow, this is crazy to picture.
Oh, my God.
Just to tinkle on both ivories, we have this piano set up where we're talking about periods. And I want to tinkle on that one and be like, Rory, I don't know. Yeah. I think around seventh or eighth grade.
Yeah,
but it
right?
was shocking and fucked up.
Yeah. I think that's about right.
It has been, to be honest, it's been happening ever since. Yeah.
It just won't stop.
And now over to this baby making piano over here. Slide the catheter in, put the jizz in. And to be honest, she came again because
catheters
think,
are fun.
Yeah. Coming. Yeah. Yes, it was the catheter. She was like, ooh, I never knew something so small it can feel, make me feel so whole.
So much.
Yeah.
but I do think it's like good energy down there and practical energy to be having orgasms when you're making babies.
Yeah.
And so we took that from the straight guard. Yeah. And then he came back in, and then we put some pillows under Shauna's butt, and we lay on the bed and watched Moana, and it was so sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
And that's a great
and he
movie.
Just heard that Wolfie was like hearing that Disney music. Yeah. That very first time that we did it was the night we conceived.
So then after having the child, and let me know if this is too private, but what caused the
emergency?
How much emergency?
Did we both weigh?
How much
yeah.
did
Rory,
you guys
how much
weigh
did my wife weigh,
time?
And how did I weigh? I mean, it's like, what does it matter to you?
Do you guys have any pictures of the night?
Ruthie, how do you put up with this? It's like every day with Rory, how much do you weigh? How much do you weigh? Excuse me if this is too much, but how much do you
weigh? It's all I know. It's all
Stop
I know.
Stop shaming me.
What was the cause of the emergency C-section if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah. No, that's like the least personal.
My wife's was preeclampsia. Is it that?
Okay. No, it was holy shitica.
Yeah.
It was wild. Why is this happening, Ika?
Yeah.
It was like she was dilated. Like we did the hot tip of like, don't go to the hospital till like, you know, you're in it.
Right.
Which we did definitely way too late. Like it was crazy to like get her in the car. She was like fully like in labor. And then we got to the hospital and the nurses were like, oh girl, you're open. We're going to roll that. They like rolled out the like red carpet of things to like, that you weigh the baby on.
She's
and
ready.
I was like, oh my God, we're going to have sushi. Like this is amazing.
Yeah.
Just like making plans, confirming I can be at my set.
Yeah.
And then the doctor came in and was like, oh, no. Like the cervix is caught on the baby's head. So it was like a hoodie on Wolfie's head and it was not open. The cervix was not opening.
Yeah.
So she was dilated, but the cervix was ruining everything. And she was trying to do natural birth. We had the doula. And then it was just like, you need to like lay here and just like wait and stop. We can't do pushing. So then she got an epidural, laid there. And then I think actually it was right after the epidural that the heartbeat was kind of fucked up.
Oh,
like the
God.
Heartbeat was lowering.
Oh,
and then it was
God.
Regulated. And at that point I was like, just like trying to start a rumor in the room of like, someone say cut her open. Like who said?
Yeah.
Anyone say just cut her open?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we guys talking about that or is that?
Yeah.
I would love to watch that. It like literally the intensity and you're like, cut her open? What do we think, guys?
Cut her open.
What
who said
think?
That? Who said cut her open?
What do we think?
Who said that? Because I know
coin?
I would be sensitive.
Heads cut her open, tails cut her open, flip a coin.
Guys, this is her body we're talking about, okay?
Oh my
She's
God.
Completely
Slice
passed
her.
Out. They're like, well, we do need to ask her. No. I'll speak for her.
I'll sign whatever. Yeah. I can do her signature.
Yeah.
So we waited, and then she was pushing again, and then the heart rate dipped again, and it was just like, I know this happens, like they're tracking it and it's scary and it happens, but it was just the second time it happened, we were like,
what the fuck?
It is a traumatic experience. Yeah. I'm trying to remember the order of everything, but like next thing you know, we're like putting on, like walking and putting on the scrubs to get in the room, and then there's the curtain, and then I'm like peeking because I'm like, really at my soul, I'm a documentary filmmaker.
Yeah. And you're fun, and you're like, hey, doctor, I'm fun,
I'm fun.
Can we just have fun? Yeah. This is somewhat relevant to what my wife and I did, but did you do the, like, birthing classes? And if so, did you feel like they did not cover what it would be like to suddenly get thrown into a C-section at all? Because I don't think
But Rory, I mean, like, with the School of Hard Knocks teaches us, and like those classes, everything about those classes is like, I'm in the wrong place. Right, like, we got tricked into being at this hospital for too long.
It's probably
five hours, like the same as sex education, right?
Like, was it similar to like, if you could just be real with us and tell us what's actually going to happen?
The same, but one guy stood up and was like, and we're going late, and this guy stood up and was like, just one more question. What happens, you know, if something goes wrong and she dies? And I'm like, this is not for this class, you idiot.
Everyone's like, well,
we would accuse you because you murdered
her. Here's a pamphlet. I was like, and I mean, the five-hour class, it was what it was. There was no way we, as new parents, weren't going to go do it because you have to, be like, maybe we get something, but... Yeah, at one point they were like, and just be ready because, you know, your plan, whatever you're planning, it's probably not going to go as planned, and just accept that. And I told after the C-section, I was like, honestly, that one sentence should just be the full class. Like, hey, we're not going to tell you anything. Just know that your plan is probably not going to happen. It's like, that's the only thing that happened was that one sentence.
Yeah. I don't think they don't tell you this in the class, but the real lesson is just steal everything.
Oh, yeah.
Steal everything that you can from the room always and pretend you ran out of it and get more of it so that you
all
are
those
home
towels?
And you have all.
Oh, those towels.
But here's the hot tip for the ladies that just got cut open or gave birth through their pussy. Those underwears that are made of gauze and then have like the blood catching. Yeah.
I still wear them. It's been 5 years.
They go forever.
I'm still wearing them.
Honey.
We stole enough that I don't rewear them. Yeah. I've never had to. I've just continued.
Hundreds of thousands of
gauze I went through
underwear.
The closet. There are women at hospitals now going, there's no more gauzy underwear. The gauze underwear, I took a fantastic picture of my wife getting up to need to go to the bathroom wearing the gauzy underwear. But sometimes I'll just show it to her. I'll be like, hey, remember? Remember when? And I then go, remember when our daughter was born? To be like, to steer the emotion in that direction. Like, that's why I'm showing you this.
What is her reaction? Is it a hot picture, strangely?
We're not doing great. We're not doing great as a couple.
Stop showing her that picture. I like the word gauze.
Yeah.
Gauze.
Hey,
just a quick shout out to that. The stuff to take is... You're absolutely spot on about that.
Yeah, everything.
Grab
everything
out of that room. Grab it. You've paid for it.
Get people to bring you good food.
Yeah.
And honestly, this is a very gauche opinion, not to bring up another great G word. Gauze and gauche.
Gauze and gauche.
Start the same.
Coming this fall. You can coming this fall to anything and it kind of works.
It's the follow-up to Jizness.
Jizness. Coming this fall. Oh.
From the people that made you Jizness trip. Yeah. Gauze and gauche.
Yeah.
One's going this way, the other's gauze.
Sign me up.
That just some of the people that come in your room that work in hospitals are not that cool or smart or sensitive or, you know, it's like police officers or teachers. It's like there's people and nurses. I mean, they're incredible. They risk their lives. And like when they're risking their lives for yours, then like give me whoever you give me. Just get me through the moment. Yeah. But when you just give birth, there was a lady that like slapped Shauna's C-section scar.
What?
Yeah.
There was a lady who was like in referencing nothing. Like, we did not bring this up. Ted told Shauna, don't worry, you'll lose the weight.
What?
Rory, did you get the, they like prick the heel of the baby to get the blood, all the blood out to test? And it's so much blood. I mean, that person was just a villain because that's their job. Imagine every day just squeezing liters of blood out of babies.
I know. Oh, you do see the people that like have to like aggressively handle the baby to clean the baby right after the C-section and like do all those tests, which you get 1,000%. You're like, of course, do it. You got to do
it. They're like fish at that point.
Exactly.
It's like when you got to take the hook out of the fish face.
Kind of like, well, I guess I'd rather the person have no emotions than the person who's like not wanting to hurt the baby. Cause it's like the person who's like, oh, I want to be careful. It's like, I don't know that you're going to get anywhere.
Yeah. Like,
I need the person who's sensitive. Kind of seemingly dead inside.
I think a lot of those people are like, they've seen so much stuff. I wish, but a bedside manner is like so important. But like,
I will say that there was a time, like my wife had an emergency C-section. It was preeclampsia. We couldn't get the blood pressure to go down. And also now that that's happening is the first time I'm like, what is preeclampsia? So we're on like day three and I'm like,
you're like, hold on. Let me Google.
And I'm like day three. I'm just like, why is it not going down?
Wait, day three?
But well, after a C-section, you got to stay for like 2, 3, or 4 days or something.
Blood pressure after the C-section was
high. Yeah, so it stayed high for a while. And it was like kind of going up and down, but it would go back up and they would come in and be like, yeah, we don't really understand what's going on. But no one's giving the like, there wasn't one person who came in and been like, hey, just so you know, this has happened and here's what, while not trying to, you know, blow smoke up your ass, here's what
Give
more than likely
information.
Will happen. And there was never any information. And there was, and the doctors kept changing out. And my wife was like, I'm just so non-confrontational at all. I just keep the peace no matter what. And my wife was like, I'm having a hard time talking. I really need you to talk to the doctor when she comes in. And I need you to ask and say these things. And I was like, you got it. You just went through hell. You're going through hell. I'm going to be so confrontational. The doctor came in. In the most non-confrontational way, I go, hey, we were chatting and we know the blood pressure is not going down. We're just kind of confused because we don't have any information. But this, her lifestyle was really active even while pregnant. Is it possible that just because now she's not being active at all? I was like, does that have anything
that would be crazy to do with it? She's like, must like, work out.
Yeah, I'm just throwing something out there. The doctor literally is staring at me the whole time I'm talking. And the moment I'm done talking, she then just looks right at my wife and goes, so what we're going to do is, like I'm going to let you talk until you're done talking. And then I'm not going to acknowledge anything you said.
Oh, then you're
look
go
right at my
gotcha.
Wife.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't even want to talk to you. My wife asked me to.
I think it was like a tiger. She just sensed that you were just saying cockamamie things. And she was,
she was like not,
you have a list that you're not sticking
to. She was not into it at all. And then she just turned and looked at my wife. And then when she left, I was like, I fucking hate that doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, we must have had 5 different doctors. But I was like, God, I hate that. We had one doctor who was incredible. She came in. She was like Johnny on the spot with everything. At one point, I started to pass out because I had forgotten to eat for 2 days. And so I was having like a hypoglycemic like thing.
What a drama queen. Yeah. Your wife is in labor and you're like, I'm fake too, everybody.
Well, that's what they laughed about. I came out of the bathroom and I looked at my wife and I go, are you done eating what's on this tray? And she was like, yes. And I started shoveling food into my mouth like I'd never had food before. And my wife goes, what's wrong? And I go, I start putting my shoes on and I'm like, I got to go to the vending machine. It's just now hitting me that I haven't eaten or drank. I've just been sitting in this room and I then couldn't stand up. My wife hits like the button to get like the nurse to come in. The nurse comes in. My wife goes, I think he's passing out. She immediately starts laughing like, oh, that's a funny joke. Like, why would he be passing out? Then she looks at me and she goes, oh my God. And yells down the hallway, I need graham crackers and orange juice now. And they brought them
in.
You
know, it's not a serious medical emergency when the call is for graham crackers.
I'm like throwing shit into my mouth. It's like, it's helping me out. And she's like, what happened? And I was like, I haven't eaten in a while. And she's just looking at me like, you're the dumbest husband we've ever had in this hospital.
Oh my God.
How do you feel like where you're at today as a parent? Like, obviously, you haven't ever done it before. Here you are. You're in it. What do you think of yourself?
I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah, yeah, no, you should be.
I do it's think not easy. I started going to therapy after he was born, because you start thinking about things that you were imprinted with, and the things that you want to, the legacy things that you're like, definitely yeah. want to do that. And like some things you're like, meh, I'll lose that. And so shuffling through those, I feel like is really good, helpful work. And we're not perfect parents is like, I think the modern way to do it, that like, especially now, cartoons with the pandemic, the quarantine, cartoons, it's like I'm not judging myself or Shauna, and we switch on and off, which is really I think good. Like being able to keep, because we all obviously got into this racket of being parents with the luxury of being like, but you know, we'll get babysitters and we'll have
know.
And now with the quarantine, it's like put your intention where your mouth is. And I'm pretty proud of us and proud of Wolfie. And he's, you know, one thing that I was thinking before the podcast that I was like, I feel like breathing, like teaching your kid to take deep breaths when they're frustrated
is
such a great tool. It's such a great tool for us to remember, but then it really works with him. Like yesterday we were Zooming, and how's your kid with Zooming? It's like, and all the digital stuff now that we're not connecting.
Now they're kind of forced to learn it. Like stuff where you're like, we don't like to do a lot of screen time. And it's like, well, now it's the only way they can see their friends. You're like, oh shit. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
And they're so great and honest about like, no more talking. And it's like, well, that's your old grandmother who's in a pandemic.
Yeah.
And they're like, no.
I know. Yeah.
But it's cool. They know their boundaries. Anyway, we were Zooming and it had been like a lot of talking to people. So he was frustrated. And then he saw that Shauna was putting popsicles into the freezer and immediately wanted one, but hadn't finished his lunch and started just focusing on the popsicle and crying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And classic Wolfie. Classic Wolfie.
Classic. Yeah.
I
take the vacation baby aside, and he's like, you know, focused on the popsicle, crying. I want the popsicle. And we kept on saying, like, if you take another bite of your food, you can have the popsicle. But he was just like, you know, addicted to his stance.
I literally did this yesterday. That's how surreal this is. I'm like, I literally lived this exact moment.
And you take them aside and you try and switch the energy and take their energy of panic and like funnel it into making the right decision and make them a part of the decision.
Yeah.
So I just was so like, take smart. Some deep breaths. And also looking outside, like looking at, like I took him outside to look at the tree. So he's looking at the tree. His mind is off of that tunnel vision, and then take some deep breaths. And then I was like, Wolfie, you can have the popsicle. I just want you to take one bite of the food. That's nothing, right?
And he was like, fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you.
I'm packing my things. Yeah. Where's my weed?
I think that is the natural stage of evolution that we're at now as people, is that teaching kids what their emotions are and how to manage them is the next phase of, you know, when they become adults and they fully understand why they're feeling something or can break things down on their own and can figure out how to solve something, because they're like, oh no, this emotion is this. And I can tell that it's being triggered by this. And the thing I'm feeling is maybe my own insecurity. It's such a mature way to live. But you then just think about Wolfie's kids and you're like, oh, that won't be something they necessarily need to learn. That'll now be a part of their DNA that he is passing on to them to naturally understand.
And if you can learn that from an early age like that, that's so cool. So I'm curious, like, your parents, like, were there things that they did that were similar to that, or things that they didn't do that then made you like, oh, and no, when I have Wolfie, like,
I think that it was harder for parents to be more sort of considerate in those moments because mothers were overwhelmed and mothers were doing the parenting. I was talking to my mother-in-law about that. She said, like, you know, it really works to just explain and walk through the emotion. You don't have to be so like brash about it the way we were. And honestly, she was a mother of three. So it's not, she doesn't have time to fucking pull every one of them aside and start walking through why they feel that way. It's just like, don't touch that. With like in parenting during the pandemic, it's like the more we, Shauna and I, afford each other and ourselves time for ourselves, then we can approach parenting that way. But if it's like day after day, you know, you get worn down and you stop having the patience to really. But the things that I loved about what my parents did is, first of all, that I always knew that they loved me, which I think is like such a head start to feel the love of your parents in your heart.
It's big.
Always,
it's a big foundation.
And not question whether it's conditional or. And they let me do what I wanted to do. It was so hard to come out of the closet. But then as soon as I did, it was like, so like, I think our generation understands that our kids' happiness is going to be the thing that like allows them to thrive. And it's not right. going to be these like prototypical normal things.
Yeah.
And my parents, my dad is Pakistani and my mom is Swiss, and they got married in the 70s. Like they were the original lesbians.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Sabrina, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank
this
you
was
very
absolutely
much.
Fantastic. We love
yeah.
it.
Devastated that it's over. Hope I come back begging for another chance.
Oh. So
this is Sabrina
so.
Jalice signing off. Dad's News, Dad's podcast, Conan Broadcast Production Studios. This has been Ed Rory Scoville and Ruthie Wyatt, as well Jen Samples producing.
I love it.
Everyone's like, you know, the news lady, her sign off is longer than her report.
She really stalls with the Conan production part.
That was awesome.
Thank you so
much.
That
was so great.
Yeah, that was really fun.
I mean, right now I want to go on a business trip, let me tell you. Okay, sorry guys.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. So affordable right now.
We're 6 months into this or whatever, and I live alone, so I'd love nothing more than a business trip. Can you imagine? Oh my God. I'm glad this is called Dad's a Podcast and not Mom's, because mine would be upset with that.
That's why we don't let her listen to this episode.
That's right. She's not allowed.
It does sound relaxing, though. For everyone out there, you can follow Sabrina on Twitter, at Sabrina Jalice. She's also got a very funny special on Netflix, so make sure you check that out. And thanks for listening to Dad's. We got another show next week, so we will see you then.
And to give a shout-out to the people who helped make this show, Dad's the Podcast is produced by Jen Samples, Nick Liao, and me, Ruthie Wyatt. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Will Becton and Anya Jeshik. Our theme song is by Strange Hotels, with additional music by John Danick. Special thanks to Sean Doherty.
And stay up to date on all things Dads by following me on Twitter, at Rory Scoville. If you like the episode, take a second and let us know. Rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
This has been a Team Coco production.